You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It is the 4th of September. The day has come to an end, and all that took place on Dalal Street, I've already told you about on an evening walk down Dalal Street. So if you want to know all about the events from there in some detail, go listen to that right now. But if you've heard that, for everything else, this is the podcast, Stories of the Day. Stories from not just India, but from everywhere around the world and indeed the universe. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
Let's start with some India business news as usual. After manufacturing, services too is showing stress as the Purchasing Managers Index, that is PMI, for services came down to 52.4 in August from 53.8. In July. Services PMI is an economic indicator which various policymakers, including the RBI, consider for policy rate revision. This index is based on a survey conducted by IHS Market involving about 400 companies in sectors including consumer, transport, information, communication, finance, etc., etc. The survey responses indicate the direction of change compared to the previous month. The indices vary between 0 and 100, a reading above 50. Indicates an overall increase compared to the previous month. A reading below 50 indicates a decrease. So there is increase, but not quite as much as you would like. Although the survey points to another round of job gains, a retreat in the rate of employment expansion highlights a wait-and-see approach among businesses longing for a sustained pickup in demand growth. So this report accompanying the PMI said business conditions in the Indian service sector remained conducive to economic growth in August, with PMI data highlighting sustained increases in activity, sales, and employment. But rate of expansion has softened from the last month. Maruti Suzuki has decided to shut down operations for 2 days at its Haryana plant. The company will observe no production days on the 7th and 9th of September at the Gurugram and Manesar plants, the company said in a statement. In the face of a severe slowdown, automakers in India, including Maruti, has been cutting output in the recent months. In August, the company reduced its production by 33.99%, making it the seventh straight month that the country's largest car maker reduced its output. Maruti produced 111,370 units in August, as against 168,725 units in the year-ago period. Earlier, other manufacturers like Hyundai, Tata Motors, Mahindra & Mahindra, Suzuki, Toyota, Hero Motor Corp, Ashok Leyland had all announced production cuts and no production days. The GST Council, meanwhile, is considering a 15 percentage point tax cut for hybrid vehicles as a method to boost the struggling auto sector. This according to a report by Business Standard. The rate reduction from 43% to 28% would be done by removing the cess on such vehicles. The auto industry is, of course, in need of corrective measures as sales of passenger vehicles have nosedived by 30.98% in June, which is the lowest growth in 20 years. Therefore, the council will, at its meeting on the 6th of August, weigh the viability of a rate cut, 6th of September, weigh the viability of a rate cut against the possible impact on GST collections from a tax reduction, Business Standard went on to note. Moody's, meanwhile, has upgraded the outlook on Punjab National Bank, which will merge OBC, that is the Oriental Bank of Commerce, and United Bank of India with itself, to positive from stable. It also affirmed the local and foreign currency deposit ratings of Canara Bank, OBC, Syndicate Bank, and Union Bank at Baa3/P3. In a release, Moody's Investors also said it has affirmed the local and foreign currency deposit ratings of PNB at Ba1/NP and affirmed the bank's baseline credit assessments. All right, business news done. What else happened in the country today? Almost a month after the centre revoked the special status granted to Jammu and Kashmir under Article 370, BJP-ruled Maharashtra and Karnataka have become the first states to propose investment in the two union territories of Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh that will come into being from the 31st of October. Sources said the Maharashtra government has written to Union Tourism Minister Prahlad Singh Patel offering to seek allotment of land to open resorts run by the Maharashtra Tourism Development Corporation in both these regions. The Maharashtra cabinet on Tuesday sanctioned the state tourism department's proposal, making a token budgetary provision of 2 crore rupees for the investment. Karnataka seems to be having similar ideas. State Tourism Minister C.T. Ravi tweeted that, and I quote, "We are also contemplating about making an entry into Jammu and Kashmir tourism." As sources have said, CM Yediyurappa has also been in touch with J&K Governor Satyapal Malik regarding investment in the region. Speaking of Karnataka politics, DK Shivkumar has been arrested and then he complained of some health issues and is right now in a hospital. More when I know more. Meanwhile, India and Pakistan reached an understanding on visa-free travel of Indian pilgrims without any restrictions based on their faith, but no formal agreement could be signed owing to certain differences on a few key issues. This according to a government source. Pakistan insists on charging a service fee for pilgrims and is also unwilling to allow the presence of Indian consular or protocol officials at the Gurdwara premises. The source said persons of Indian origin holding OCI card 2 can visit Holy Gurdwara Kartarpur Sahib using the corridor. 5,000 pilgrims can visit Holy Gurdwara Kartarpur Sahib using the corridor every day. Additional pilgrims can visit on special occasions subject to a committed capacity expansion by the Pakistani side. The corridor will be operational every day of the year and pilgrims can visit as individuals or in groups and on foot. All the facilities on the Indian side would be ready for the pilgrimage through the Kartarpur corridor on the auspicious occasion of the 550th birth anniversary of Guru Nanak. If you're in Bombay, you already know what I'm going to be talking about. Heavy rains. Be safe. Heavy overnight rain caused waterlogging in several parts of Mumbai, triggering air and rail traffic disruptions today. Civic authorities declared a holiday in schools in the city amid a heavy rain warning. Rescue teams are at work in areas near Mithi River, which has crossed the danger mark. Parts of the city were under waist-deep water. A red alert, likelihood of heavy to extremely heavy rain, has been sounded by the weather office in Mumbai for the next 24 hours. Out of the 150 weather stations in the Mumbai metropolitan region, around 100 recorded more than 200 millimeters of rainfall in the last 24 hours. Well, Ganesh Gaitonde seems to be hurting sentiments. A member of the Shiv Sena IT cell has filed a police complaint against Netflix, alleging that the US-based online streaming service is, quote, defaming Hindus and India through shows hosted on its platform. The complaint cites examples of series like Sacred Games, Leela and Ghoul, along with shows of stand-up comedian Hasan Minhaj, to accuse Netflix of deep-rooted Hindu phobia and trying to, quote, paint an incorrect picture of Hindus and India globally, unquote. The complainant, Ramesh Solanki, has urged the police to take necessary legal action against Netflix for hurting Hindu sentiments. A copy of the complaint has also been sent to Maharashtra Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis and the Mumbai Commissioner of Police. Body-worn cameras sponsored by UIR, which is a people's initiative against road traffic accidents, will be used while enforcing the amended motor vehicle rules, according to the police. This will ensure that the compliance of the rules and levying of hefty fines are done in a transparent manner. The camera, fixed on the uniform of the personnel, can continuously record up to 8 hours. This is something akin to what happens in the US, for example. During vehicle checks, the camera would record the procedure, including how the police personnel checked the license and documents and compliance of wearing seatbelt and the use of helmet. It would also record the amount of penalty imposed on the violators for a particular offense. So, should this come into play and should this be used properly, bye-bye to those hefty bribes that I'm sure you've all paid. The center has sought cooperation from states to ease the Essential Commodities Act, that is the ECA, by scrapping mandatory jail term for offenses committed under the act. It has also directed states to set up price stabilization funds at the earliest to control prices of essential items and said by March 2020, the Interstate Portability of Ration Cards scheme would be implemented in 13 states. The announcements came after Food Minister Ram Vilas Paswan held a meeting with State Food and Consumer Affairs Ministers. In other sad news, 16 are reported to be dead after a blast at a firecracker factory in Punjab and many more are feared trapped. We will of course report on this as and when we have more on moneycontrol.com. Alright, India news done. Let's turn as usual to financial markets elsewhere. We start with the Dow. A day after losing 285 points, the Dow is all set to advance about 200 points today as of the Wednesday open. Tuesday's concerns over new US and China tariffs abated today as Hong Kong conceded to a key demand of pro-democracy protesters, that is, Carrie Lam, saying that the extradition bill, which was at the center of this controversy in Hong Kong, which led to protests over a prolonged period of time from hundreds of thousands of people of Hong Kong, is going to be withdrawn. So the Dow looks all set to rise. And Hong Kong stocks soared nearly 4% overnight onward that the city's leader, Chief Executive Carrie Lam, is withdrawing this contentious extradition bill. Early Wednesday, the measure was officially abandoned. So as of now, this has died. Cathay Pacific Airways chairman resigns after the CEO's August departure over staff participation in Hong Kong protests, and Trump was so angry after China's trade retaliation last month that he wanted to double tariffs. This according to a report by CNBC. Well, the British pound is extremely happy. It has been moving higher after the Parliament opened the door for another Brexit delay. More about this in just a little while. The move sets up another vote today on whether the government and on whether to block the government with from proceeding with a no deal departure from the European Union, because the deadline for that is coming up on the 31st of October. I'll tell you all about it in just a little while. But as of now, suffice to say that the British pound is very happy. Shares of Uber and Lyft fell to fresh lows yesterday, posting their lowest close ever, as the ride-hailing companies face growing skepticism from investors. Uber closed down 5.7% to $30.7, falling below its previous low of $32.57 on the 30th of August. Lyft also experienced a similarly steep drop, ending the day down 7.2%. Both these companies have had a particularly rough ride on the public markets since their respective IPOs earlier this year. They were both not good, as investors continue to question whether these companies, Uber or Lyft, can achieve profitability ever in the future. Uber and Lyft were trading on Tuesday more than 30% below their IPO prices of $45 and $72, respectively. Uber reported a net loss of $5.24 billion for its second quarter of 2019, blaming stock-based compensation costs. By comparison, Lyft lost $644.2 million in the second quarter, representing a significant jump from the $178.9 million that it lost a year earlier. So Uber and Lyft, choppy rides. China is making changes to the local business environment in a move that is expected to vastly increase the amount of data companies must share with the central government. Chinese authorities want to collect information from businesses operating in China, whether they are domestic or foreign, and integrate them into a centralized digital database. This, according to a report by the European Union Chamber of Commerce in China. While Beijing insists that the system is meant to create a fair, transparent, and predictable business environment, there are, of course, concerns about how the government might use the data, especially in light of the escalating trade tensions with the United States. The new system could also bring China significantly closer to its goal of tracking the actions of people and businesses so that it can reward behaviors it likes and punish behaviors it does not like, this so-called social credit system. So, concerns about whether or not these data would be incorporated into figuring out the social credit system are also running quite high based on this move by China. All right, now, international news proper. Outside of business, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam, the chief executive there, has announced the formal withdrawal of an extradition bill which triggered months of unrest and has thrown the Chinese-controlled city into its worst crisis in decades. The protests in the former British colony began in June over the bill, and I've been talking about it non-stop, as you know, and this bill would have allowed extraditions to mainland China, where the courts are controlled by the Communist Party, but have since evolved into a push for greater democracy. Now, what these protesters wanted was that this extradition simply cannot happen. If somebody is accused of something, they can't just be sent off to mainland where they might not get a fair trial. And this was the crux of the whole protest, among several others, including the fact that Hong Kong feels culturally and everything else early quite different from mainland China. Hong Kong's benchmarks were, of course, very happy about the withdrawal of this bill. Hang Seng jumped after the report, trading up about 3.3%. The property index jumped 6%. The withdrawal was also one of the protesters' key demands. And so Lam has said before that the bill was dead, but she had not withdrawn it. And today, officially, that has been done. Reuters revealed in an exclusive report on Monday that Carrie Lam told business leaders last week she had caused unforgivable havoc by introducing the bill, and that if she had a choice, she would apologize and resign. This was according to a leaked audio recording. Lam's remarks are, of course, consistent with the Reuters report published on Friday, which revealed how leaders in Beijing were effectively calling the shots on handling the crisis. Not necessarily Carrie Lam, it was leaders sitting in mainland China. China, of course, denies it is meddling in Hong Kong's affairs, but warned again on Tuesday that it would not sit idly by if the unrest threatened Chinese security and sovereignty. All right, I told you earlier that we are revisiting Civil War times. That is what happened in the 17th century. What exactly happened in the 17th century in England? It was a tussle between the executive and the legislature. What is the executive? It is the Prime Minister's office. What is the legislature? It is the MPs, the members of Parliament. Now, the executive, in this case in Britain, wanted a no-deal Brexit, meaning by the 31st of October, just get out of EU without a deal. Obviously, a lot of people, a lot of MPs and a lot of people in Britain did not want this because it is catastrophic. It destabilizes the British economy, that being among the 100 other terrible reasons people cited that this no-deal Brexit shouldn't happen. Now, the majority with the executive used to be one, and Boris Johnson, Clown Prince of Britain and Britain's Trump, etc., started talking about this whole thing. He prorogued the parliament, he got the Queen's approval, all of this, you know, because we have spoken about it. He was standing in parliament and talking about this, and one of his MPs, Dr. Philip Lee, while Boris Johnson was speaking, just switched parties. It almost seemed like an Indian Lok Sabha scene where he just crossed over to the Lib Dems. In addition to that, 21 rebel MPs from his own party also voted against this no-deal Brexit, meaning that they are going to call for an extension on Brexit. As of now, it is in January 2020, and until then, and by then, hopefully there would be some deal that would be achieved. Now, Boris has obviously now called for a snap election. He suffered a furious backlash from moderate conservatives after he responded to losing control of Brexit by expelling 21 of these MPs. Now, some context here. He removed these 21 MPs from his party only a few days ago. Poland commemorated the 80th anniversary of the Nazi invasion in that country. And it was the Nazi invasion in Poland which led to Britain and France finally taking the plunge into the Second World War. And Winston Churchill, as we know, was the hero of that war. I mean, it's questionable. The legacy of Winston Churchill is a bit iffy, but let's, for this particular discussion, declare him a hero of that war. And 80 years down the line, what does the leader of the Conservative Party do, Boris Johnson? Well, he expels the grandson, that is Soames, of the Conservative Party from the party because he was one of the rebel MPs, one of the 21, who said, "No, Boris Johnson, we need to talk more about this no-deal Brexit situation. I am not with you." These MPs took control of the parliamentary agenda by 328 votes to 301, paving the way for an extension of the October 31st deadline. Ruth Davidson, who quit as leader of the Scottish Conservatives last week, led the charge against the Prime Minister's decision to strip the whip from the group of Conservative rebels. Johnson also faces being unable to carry out his threat of calling a snap election after suffering a humiliating defeat in his very first Commons vote. And now, Theresa May seems almost too competent because she did this dance for about 3 years. Of course, she failed, but at least she held on to it for 3 years, whereas Boris Johnson, on his very first vote, has failed. The Labour Party has also confirmed that it will vote down Boris Johnson's bid for a general election tonight. Labour has also been demanding a general election for months, but senior figures are concerned that the Prime Minister could name an election date after the Brexit deadline, forcing the UK to crash out of the EU without a deal during the campaign. Prime Minister's questions is going on right now, and I have not seen a more tragicomic turn of events. What will happen in Britain is going to be interesting, not least because it is, well, entertaining. What else is happening in the world? Hurricane Dorian is making its way up the United States eastern coast. The National Hurricane Center has warned that the entire southeastern coast, from Florida to North Carolina, may be affected by life-threatening surf and rip conditions within the next 36 hours. The Bahamas were, of course, pummeled by Dorian, and several people have died there, 5 as of the last count, but that number is set to increase, is what the Prime Minister has just said. But as it has been approaching the American coast, it has been categorized as a Category 2 storm. When it was in the Bahamas, it was Category 5, a category that Donald Trump may or may not have heard of, because during his presidency, 3 Category 5 storms have hit, and each time he said, "We didn't even know that there was Category 5 that could exist." And if you see his Twitter feed, it almost seems like he has a pornographic obsession, I suppose, with the strength of these hurricanes. It is a bit disturbing. But anyway, as of now, it has been downgraded to Category 2. All right, very quickly, what is happening in the world of tech? Apple is said to be coming out with a cheaper version of the iPhone by 2020, according to some reports. And Google is reportedly facing a big antitrust probe from more than half of the US state attorneys general, and it could be announced as soon as next week. This according to a report by the Washington Post. What about the other big company? Facebook says its facial recognition technology will no longer identify users in photos by default amid ongoing privacy concerns. Will the privacy concerns of Facebook ever abate? We do not know, but unlikely anytime soon. Turning east, Samsung may be quietly developing another foldable phone, which looks like an old school flip phone. This according to a report by Bloomberg. This phone is expected to be thinner and less expensive than the $2,000 Galaxy Fold, which is also expected to be launched this month. Huawei has come out swinging against new claims that it stole smartphone camera technology. This according to a report from the Wall Street Journal, where Huawei has issued an acerbic public statement following the journal report, which said that US prosecutors are investigating new allegations of intellectual property theft. Amazon, by the way, is reportedly working on a new payment system that would let you check out at Whole Foods by simply waving your hand over a sensor. And finally, Alphabet's chief legal boss accused of emotionally abusing a former Googler after a workplace affair reportedly married a current Google employee over the weekend. What does it say about white people? You always fail up. You get so many chances that you can do that thing that you were accused of and then just a little while later do the same thing. Failing up, the trait of the white successful male. In other news I found fascinating, okay, by the way, is the most spoken word on earth. A report has emerged which indicates that it's only been used for about 180 years, but its linguistic history. Some people say it comes from German, some people say it has American origins, etc. It remains a mystery, but it is now certainly the most used word on earth. But among the more used and more coveted things in recent times is, of course, Apple's AirPods. Everybody wants them for Christmas. Everybody wants them for presents because, you know, they're cool, they're expensive, and they're from Apple, and whatever it is, Apple and chic looking, people just want it. But you know what? They're causing huge transit issues in New York City. A report has emerged that several people are losing their AirPods on subway tracks. And in recent months, the MTA, which is the subway authority there, is considering initiating a public service announcement urging commuters to refrain from taking AirPods on or off while entering or exiting trains. The PSA would hopefully alleviate the delays that are caused by numerous AirPods that have fallen between the cracks each day. And Stephen Duginsky, who is a maintenance supervisor there, said they're tiny, they're hard to find, but the only saving grace is that they're white. Now, the other thing is, if you just lose them, it's not as though like you lost one of your headphones and say, oh, that's gone. No, you can actually track them. Just like your find your iPhone feature, you can also find your pod feature. And people come back and say, this is where they are. Get it back to me. So it's causing a lot of delays. It's causing a lot of man hours being utilized in digging these things back up from the tracks. And they don't come cheap, because that's why you go back to retrieve them. It's $138 for a pair. I have always wondered how these things stay on, especially in the summer when you get sweaty and it could just slip off. But people seem to want it. I don't have one, but I won't necessarily say no if someone gave them to me. But hopefully I won't go to New York or lose them in any other subway. All right, as usual, a quick roundup of what's happened in the markets today. It was a decent day after the pummeling that the markets took yesterday. HDFC Twins, ICICI Bank, State Bank of India, and Infosys all helped benchmark indices to end in the green today. Broader market sentiment, again, slightly subdued because of disappointing macro data. Yesterday's slide of more than 700 points was, of course, a terrible one. And today, the Sensex gained about 162 points. Bharti Airtel was the top gainer today, but Maruti, down 4%, was the biggest loser. The auto sector not doing well today either. Tata Motors, Mahindra were also among the top losers today. Nifty 50 closed at about 10,845, which was up 47 points. Sectorally, auto sector declined the most, and then media and realty counters also suffered a little bit. And Sun Pharma ended over 3% down after reports suggested that SEBI has ordered a forensic audit against the company to look into allegations of financial irregularities and lapses in corporate governance standards. Well, that's it for today. All the big stories that I thought were important and useful enough for you to regurgitate in order to appear like an informed, intelligent, with it person around the water cooler. Do people even have water coolers, or is that again a thing of the past? Do people even talk in offices? I don't know, man. These things keep changing at such a rapid pace that you might be reworking at some point, you might be remote working. Is there even a water cooler? Who knows? Wherever it is that you're hanging around with other people, hopefully these pieces of news will prove useful to you. for you to regurgitate and seem intelligent. Do write into us if your quest has been successful, or indeed if my quest in making you that way has been successful. mcpodcast@nw18.com. And I'll see you first thing in the morning tomorrow with a morning walk down Dalal Street. Until then, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
And finally, a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis, and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just 289 rupees for a year as part of our independence offer. Use the code FREEDOM, FREEDOM. The offer is valid until the 31st of August for Android and desktop users. You can log on to moneycontrol.com to subscribe.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.